With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Bree Ripley. As the most severe drought in the nation continues to pummel ranchers and farmers in northeastern Montana, the National Weather Service says it isn't ending anytime soon. But as Nate Hedgie found out from longtime area ranchers, when it comes to weather nowadays, anything is possible.
Rancher Sarah Browning stands on her back porch near Winnett, Montana, a little dog running around her legs. The yard is still green, but the coulees and breaks around it are either brown or scorched black from fire.
Things are extremely, extremely dry, and we've had fires here, but nothing like this.
Most of her rangeland was destroyed by the drought-fueled lodgepole complex of fires last month, and now she's praying for rain to keep what little she has left growing.
If it starts raining and we get good rain, I think it'll start greening up.
Are you expecting good rain this fall?
No. We're hoping, but no.
Eastern Montana is in the grips of an exceptional drought. It's fueling grass fires like the Lodgepole Complex, killing crops, and making wheat prices jump across the country. Tanya Franson, chief meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Glasgow, says farmers and ranchers are feeling resigned.
It's hard on people economically. They have families to support. They have equipment to maintain. There's a legacy with a lot of this, and when you lose that legacy, how do you rebuild it?
And while a few isolated spots received rain over the past week,
we still are not looking at any major precipitation in the near future. And, you know, for Glasgow, July was the third warmest on record. It's also the driest on record in 110 years.
Nearly a quarter million people are living under drought conditions in Montana right now, and the state has a dozen large wildfires burning in it. And while some ranchers in eastern Montana say rains are supposed to come in mid-August,
our climate has been kind of off the last couple of years. We've had major flooding occurring in October. Sometimes August can be extremely dry. So, you know, we have the science to show those things. I know there's a lot of, I hate to say, old wives' tales on weather and such, but you can't always count on that.
Back at the ranch near Winnett, Sarah Browning says the Lodgepole complex of fires that destroyed her rangeland came on the heels of some of the worst flooding she'd ever seen back in 2011. So nowadays, she says, when it comes to weather, anything is possible.
Do you feel like these things are getting worse nowadays than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago?
The natural disasters? Oh, you know, I don't know. And what I've seen, yeah, but, you know, I don't know.
An updated report from the U.S. Drought Monitor is expected on Thursday. In Winnett, I'm Nate Hedgie, YPR News.
Both of Montana's U.S. senators disagree with the decision to abandon work on health care to focus on other legislative priorities. Jackie Yamanaka reports.
Tuesday's announcement comes after yet another failure by the Republican majority to scrap the Affordable Care Act, more commonly known as Obamacare. Republican Steve Daines disagrees with his leadership's decision.
You know, failure is not an option.
He says Montanans are being harmed by increasing premiums and the financial penalty tied for not complying with the mandate to have health insurance. Daines recently was among a group of senators who called on Republican leaders to stay through the traditional August recess and find a solution.
There's a lot of work left to do here in Washington, and I want to keep the pressure on leadership to say, let's keep our sleeves rolled up and let's keep working.
The law needs a fix, agrees Democrat John Tester. He remains hopeful a bipartisan group will work together to try to come up with that fix.
That allows folks to be able to get access to affordable and accessible health care in Montana. And I think that's really the bottom line. Do I think there's still an appetite to do that? Yeah, but it has to be an inclusive process.
Tester notes, however, since Republicans are in control of the House and Senate, they will decide if a bipartisan compromise is even possible. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News.
A judge has dismissed a lawsuit filed by Wyoming's former superintendent who claimed a Casper lawmaker defamed her in a Facebook post. The Casper Star Tribune reported yesterday that the judge called the Facebook post at question the exact type of statement the First Amendment intends to protect. Cindy Hill claimed that Tim Stubson, a one-time Casper State representative, wrote a post that continued a pattern of malicious conduct against her. She had filed the suit in February 2016 as Stubson was challenging Liz Cheney for a U.S. House seat. Stubson says he is relieved the case is behind him. He says the case was important because people need to be free to criticize their elected officials. The U.S. government awarded $4.6 million to Montana in order to help retrain hundreds of coal workers who will soon be out of jobs because of a partial closure of the coal-fired Colstrip power plant. The Bullock administration announced the aid package today. Officials said $2 million of the money would be available immediately to begin workforce retraining. The aid arrives months after a failed attempt by some legislators to require two power plants to compensate Colstrip and surrounding communities. This is due to economic losses when two of the plant's four units will shut down by 2022. The federal money comes from the U.S. Department of Labor program to help displaced workers. While the focus is on Colstrip, the money could also benefit 1,700 workers across 21 counties in eastern Montana. Wyoming officials are about to decide on a final round of approval for the state's first major new coal mine in decades. Ramaco, a company based in Kentucky, wants to use coal from the Sheridan area mine for a proposed carbon-based materials research facility. Many car and airplane parts are made of carbon fiber, a strong and lightweight material. The Wyoming Environmental Quality Council will vote on the mine today in Cheyenne. Sheridan area residents represented by the Sheridan-based Powder River Basin Resource Council worry the Brook Mine could lower the water table and say blasting could destabilize their homes. Other opponents include a mining company with competing claims. Ramaco officials say they've addressed the concerns raised to the extent required. The Lodgepole Complex fire is nearly 100% contained, and now work is shifting to rehabilitate the impacted land. DNRC's Mark Bostrom distributes money to impacted wildfire areas as the Administrator of Conservation and Resource Development. He's putting the finishing touches on the first recovery contract of this fire season. It's sending $70,000 to the Garfield Conservation District and one of the counties dramatically affected by that eastern Montana fire.
And this contract would go to recovery efforts such as reseeding and weed management and, replacing fencing, things like that have been lost in the fire.
Bostrom says it's only August, and they're already seeing more large-scale fires like the Lodgepole fire, and the financial need to help landowners will continue to grow.
You know, it's important that the state's there as a partner, and, you know, this money that we get out on a local level from the state often can be used to match federal funding that's really starting to flow in.
Bostrom says DNRC prefers writing contracts with government agencies, so there is local distribution of the money. Those contracts can be with conservation or irrigation districts, or even counties or cities impacted by wildfires. This is YPR News.